Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi Maseches Chulin Daf Kuf Chaf Aleph. We begin on the second line off the top. V'ha'olol, so back to the Mishnah where the Tana, the Mishnah listed some items which, although on their own, by their own right, are not really considered legitimate, you know, food material, but they can be counted in order to achieve. So if you add them in with food, you count them in to achieve the minimum, you know, shiur requirement, which is a kabetza, eggs worth of material, in order to be susceptible to becoming tume, tumas, oichlin, tume that applies to food. Now, some items in the Mishnah were considered a shomer, right? Something which guards, which shields, protects the food material beneath it or alongside it. And that gives the shomer sort of food status with respect to joining together to achieve the shiur. In some cases, it isn't, you know, a shomer. It's more that this really is not... it's not food or not non-food. It's sort of pseudo-food. It's in between. It's something, as Rashi says, you wouldn't eat on its own. Little sinews, little... but, you know, when it's together with the... like they make, you know, salami, bologna, they just pile in all kinds of, you know, things that you wouldn't eat on its own. But when it's together, mixed together, you would eat it on account of the food alongside it. So, due to that, it does get somewhat of food status, and if it's together with real food, since it will be eaten alongside the food, it is considered as food material, and it is mitztarif to the other food to achieve that, again, to achieve that kibetza, to become tummy. One example of this type of semi-food material is v'ha'olol. Now, what exactly, my olol, Rav Yechon Omar Martika, that's the neck vein, which Rashi says is hard, is tough, it's not really edible on its own. But Rish Lakish Amar Basar Shaplatos is Sakin. He has a whole different approach. He says, no, we're talking about meat. But it's a thin sliver of meat. So when they skin the animals, the knife was in the midst of separating the flesh from the skin, the edible from the inedible, and it sort of hopped over, it skipped over, and left out a little sliver here, a little strand of meat there, still attached to the skin. And it doesn't really have chashivos, it doesn't have significance. We'll see later. The obvious question is, look, is it edible or not edible, right? So on its own, it's not, but with real food that is, how do you work that out? We'll get to that later. But firstly, definition. Olol, according to Rabbi Yochanan, is the neck vein, according to Rish Lakish, the neck sinew, according to Rish Lakish. It's this skipped sliver of meat still on the skin. Maisvei comes Akasha, there's a pasuk in Ei, where he was responding to his friends who came to console him, came to give him chizuk. He says, you're speaking falsehood, you're giving me false inspiration. Maisvei, ulam atem, look, toifle sheker, Rashi says toifle means mechabri, you're putting together false words of consolation. Roifei, elil, kulchem, you're like the one trying to fix the broken elil, this neck sinew that snapped, which you can't fix it, you can't repair it. Once it gets injured, once it gets snapped, you can't really heal it. So that's how effective, that's how genuine are your words. Clearly, the word elil here means the neck vein. Bishleim elamadam amar martika, according to Rabbi Yochanan, that alal is this martika vein, hainu delav barafu, that fits well with the pasuk. It's irreparable. Elil madam amar basar shabatasi sakin, but according to Rish Lakish, elil simply means dangling skin which barafu. Of course you can fix it up, Rashi says. Sometimes, you know, there's some dangling flesh or skin off a person, chas v'shalom, that could be reattached, you know, restitched, right? Reglued, right? Barafu. So why was he indicating that there's no way to heal this? You're right. Be'alal dekra, regarding the word alal in the pasuk, there's no question as to the intent. Dekuli amalei pligi. There's no machlek, all agree. Translation, there is the neck vein. He pleaded alal de masnisen. The question is only on the word alal in our Mishnah. What did the Mishnah mean when it said alal? This or that? Toshma, here comes another raya from the end of our Mishnah. You see, the Tanakama says that the halal material alongside the other semi-food materials can be mitzarev to complete the kebetza for tumas oichlin purposes, so it's regarded as food in that respect. But let's say it's a dead animal. Will these items be tummy? No. They don't have tumas nevela, which only applies to purely edible materials, not to these semi-foods. However, Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. Tashma Rabbi Yehuda Omer, it depends. Halal ha-mechunas, if the fellow actually gathered together these little strands of halal, put it together, now he has a pile which amounts to a kazayis, that will have tumas nevela as well. Rashi explains, because he has now revealed to us that he never intended on just nullifying and leaving these things as part of the skin. He wants them, he likes them, he needs them. So if he actually did it consciously, went and collected it, that indicates that he gives it prominence, gives it chashivas, he regards it as full food and full meat, and it's called an avela. Right? Ha'olam mechunas. And therefore, yesh kazayis makam echad, he has accumulated a kazayis at once, Chayvan Olav, if one eats it, he is liable for nevela. Vamrav Huna, he explains, Vuhusha Kansi, provided that he himself gathered it, as opposed to, you know, if it just happens to be sitting there or some kids did it, it has to be something done with intent and adult awareness. Now, Bishlam al Mandamar Basar, Shabbatasich Sakin, let's see how this halacha corresponds to our dispute in terms of what the halal means. So if you say like Rish Lakish, it's a sliver on the skin. Hainu, that would explain the chayik kazayis machayev. Rabbi Yehuda's halacha, if you have a kazayis, you're chayev, because in reality, it is food material, unless it was nullified to the skin. You have to sort of undo its status. And in this case, we're indicated just the opposite. So it retains its food status, even regarding tumas nevel. Elma de Omar Martaga. However, if you say the halal is just that neck vein, kik kazayis mayavi. What good is it that he has a kazayis sitting here? How does that change matters? It's inedible. Inedible is inedible, no matter how much it is. Mayavi eats, yeah, eats ba'am. It's like a piece of wood. Why would it be considered basar nevel? You're right, once again. You're right. Alib Rabbi Yehuda lepligi. There's no discussion in terms of what Rabbi Yehuda meant in his halacha. Of course, he was talking about that second definition of halal. Ki pligi alib derabbanan. Meaning, theoretically, all agree that halal can mean this or that. It can mean both. I mean, in the pasuk, it means the neck vein. Rabbi Yehuda is clearly referring to the remnants, the flesh remnants on the hide. However, let's go back to the beginning of the Mishnah. Ki pli yalib the Rabbanan, meaning the Tanakam of the Mishnah, who states that halal at most can be considered an accessory to food and, you know, regarding tumas oichlin, but not regarding tumas nevel. It's not actually flesh. Not actually considered basar. It's batal, right? So the question is, what did the Rabbanan mean? Rabbi Echan says, it could mean both. It could mean both. Tanakama meant both versions of halal. The remnants on the skin and the neck vein. Even that's really considered, you know, pseudo food regarding tumas oichlin. Rosh Lakish disagrees. Right? Rosh Lakish says no. Neck vein, it's a non-starter. There's no chance that's going to be considered food. Rather, we're talking about those slivers on the skin. Tanakama maintains it could be tamei tumas oichlin. It would be the ads. If he goes and collects it, it could be tumas nevelas as well. So again, kipli yalibid rabbanon, machlekes, between Rabbi Yechanan and Rish Lakish, in defining the word halal, pertains to the rabbanon only. The Tanakama, who says that halal can have tumas oichlin. Rabbi Yechanan, Amar Maratik, Onam Mitzdarav, he says not only the slivers of meat on the skin, if placed next to food, can be regarded as food entity as well, to get you to that kibetza. Even the Maratika, even that has the same potential. And what Rabbi Yehuda, by the way, adds, he says, regarding Tumas Nevela, the skin, the flesh on the remnants on the skin, if you collect it, then it's Tumas Nevela as well. Rish Lakish Amar Davka Basar Shepatase Sakin. Rish Lakish disagrees. Tanakama, who says Alal can be a Tumas Eichlin, that's strictly the Basar Shepatase Sakin, the sliver of meat which the knife skipped over. Because ultimately, it's really edible. It's just a question of status. Is it nullified? Is it not? So it's sort of semi-food at this point, halachically. So it's next to real food. It's mitzaref. Aval martakel mitzaref. No, but the neck vein, that's totally inedible. Has no element of food to it. Okay, so we're good. Bottom line, what is Allah? Well, it depends if you're learning Iyai, or if you're learning the Mishnah, what are you holding? So in the Pasuk, it's certainly the neck vein which has no remedy. In the Mishnah, well, Rabbi Yehuda is certainly speaking about the Basar Shabbatase Sakan, which was now gathered together to achieve a kazayis and has Tumas Nevela. Tanakama, who spoke about Alal being considered part of the larger food entity. Regarding Tumas Oichlin, well, Rish Lakish says, once again, that's only the Basar Shabbatase Sakan, only has that, then has that potential. But not the neck vein. Rabbi Yechon says, well, the neck vein as well. It can be eaten alongside food and has a similar status. Now, going back to this skipped sliver of meat. Food is food, right? What do you mean to say that it's not food on its own unless it's mitzaref to other foods? Hai basar shabbatasei sak. Hey, Chidam, what exactly are we talking about in reference to this meat on the skin? Either chashev alei, if he had a mind, okay, I like this, I'm going to have it for my Purim Suda, right? I feel about pay nafshi mitami. So even on its own, right? If you have a clump of this sliver here, it amounts to a kabeitza, so he relabeled it as food. And that's the halacha, when you machshiv something that elevates its status to food. So why do you need other food alongside it to connect to it? I mean, why does he need outside help to make him into food? Oh, maybe he had no machshava to eat it. So he did not elevate it. It's just sitting there, benign. Okay, so then he nullified it. He considered it part of the hide, which is not edible. It's gone. Battle. So how could it be considered food? Answer is like this. He really did not have machshava on this particular piece of sliver of this basar shapatase sakin, which amounts to less than a kibetza, but it's sitting next to real food. It's part of a larger clump. So we have two pshatim, Rabbi Abin and Rabbi Yasha. Each one said an explanation. Chadam, one explained, miktsase chishev alav. What happened was that he had a full kibetza, a big clump of this, skipped meat on the hide. He decided, he's going to have part of it. Doesn't eat the whole thing, but, part of it, half of it. The other part he just ignored. So the point is, since Rashi says he didn't really specify which one, and the Mefarshim bring from an old klaf of Rashi, he explains that even though he only had a machshav on half, it works on the whole thing. Okay, the Marshal brings an old klaf from Rashi. He says like this, that once he has a machshav on half of that klump, he says he's gila b'daita, that he's not mevatel the whole thing. Basically, there's two halves. One, let's call it A, and one is B. A, he intended on eating. That elevates its food. The B is sort of, in limbo. Now he can be pulled both ways. He's right now in a tug of war. He can be drawn after A, because he's the same entity, he's part of the same clump, and if this is food, then this is food. He can be drawn the other way, down to the skin on which he's sitting, right? Which is not edible. It can be bottled to the skin. So in this type of situation, we say it's been starved to the food. Once part of that clump has been given machshava of oichel, likewise, we assume the other part comes along for the ride as well, and is also considered oichel. That's the pshat. The next part is a similar pshat, just a slightly different scenario. V'chad amar, the other one explained, miktsase potase chaya, miktsase potase sak. You have a clump of remnant, meat remnant on the skin. Now part of it was nashchase chaya. Rashi says a dog, you know, bit the animal during its lifetime and dangled this piece of meat off. So it's dangling. And in this case, it's not bottle. It's not stuck to the skin. It's not like bottle, like, you know, when the guy was skinning it and he just left some meat behind and, you know, becomes bottle here. There's no intentional bittle, so it doesn't lose its food status. In contrast to the half a kibetza next to it, which was skipped by the knife, so that became bottle, right? But since it's attached to this non-bottle half, so it gets swept alongside it and gets drawn along to this, and given that elevated status of food as well. And that's what the Mishnah means. Now, if you have a little bit of this skipped skin, meat next to a similar meat, which is considered food because they had a machshav, or because it was never lost its food status when it was, you know, dangled by the animals, so the other half sort of gets drawn along to it rather than getting pulled back to the skin, so that preempts the bittel, and you have a full kibetza, which is mitam to masechel. Tanhasam, we have another Mishnah, a similar discussion in Maseches Taharis regarding food items, which are not really food. Tanhasam achartam, the beak of the bird, that's the parnaim, the nails. Mitamin, they're considered like an extension of the food alongside them. They're like a yad. Mitamin, they can import tumah from the outside to the food material situated alongside them. Umitamin, likewise, they can send out tumah. Umitstarfin, not only that, they can join together, be combined with the food alongside them to achieve the required shiur of kibetz. Why? Because these things, aside from, you know, the fact that they can be used to handle the food next to them, but they're also somewhat edible. Once again, they're not edible on their own, by their own right, but you tend to eat them together with the meat alongside it. Asks the Gemara, chartaim, I mean a beak? That's edible? Eitz ba'almut, it's a piece of wood, it's inedible. Amar Rabbi Elazar, b'chartaim tachtum, I'm talking about the lower beak. Tachtum nami eitz ba'almut, the lower beak is also inedible. Amar Papa tachtum shen elyam, I'm talking about this lower, layer of the upper beak, which is somewhat soft and edible. Tzipor nine, what about the nails? I mean, that's not edible. Amar Rabbi Elazar was speaking about the ones deep inside, embedded inside the skin. Makam shem avlam avlam bebasa, the parts that's still inside, it's somewhat soft and somewhat edible. Karnaim, what about the horns? Who eats horns? Amar Papa b'makam shechoytchin, once again, I'm not speaking about the hardened part, rather the soft part inside. And the litmus test is, what happens when you cut it? You cut it and there's bleeding, so you know it's sort of semi-flesh and it's considered as part of the food. Okay, so in summation, we had many examples of materials which are not really technically considered food unless they're sort of alongside real food, eaten together. That elevates them as well as an accessory to food, as, you know, and this semi-food now has a din of food regarding tumas oichlin. We had alal, a couple of approaches to that. We had the beak, the nails, the horns. Now on to the next part of the mission. Kayoitze b'yeshech behema. Amar b'yasi. Shoinin, there are tanoim who taught as follows. They learn as follows. Yisrael b'tameo. Imagine a yid picks up a kosher knife and does a shechita on an unkosher animal, on a horse, for the sake of a goy, to feed it to a goy. So this is pretty much a review of the Mishnah, where we learned that what happens then, since it's a Yisrael who's empowered to do shechita, even though it's a behemot meya, but since it's for the sake of a goy, that shechita will now transform the horse from a live horse, from an animal, and render it, give it the status of oichla food, and it's now open to tumas oichla, even though it's not yet dead, it's still flapping. But since by a yid, the act of shechita suffices to permit the material, it renders it from animal to food, from behema to basar, it is now regarded, is now classified as food material, and is open to tumas oichla, but not tumas nevelas, until it fully dies. So you need all these conditions to be met for this to work. It has to be a Yisrael doing the Shechita, it has to be for the sake of a goy, right, etc. Or exactly the opposite works as well. Imagine a guy does shechita; he can't really do shechita halachically, so the food doesn't become mutter. But he's thinking that he can do it, and he's doing it for the sake of Yisrael on a kosher animal. So in this case as well, once the shechita happens, even if the animal is still flapping and showing signs of hasn't fully expired, it's already considered oichel. Rashi points out that even though really a guy doesn't have the power to do shechita, but since he's doing it for the sake of Yisrael, to feed Yisrael, who shouldn't be eating it by the way, but mistakenly he's thinking that he can eat it, so that transforms the animal into meat even before it's fully life is fully expired, and it's considered like food regarding tumas oichlan. Now it's richen machshava, on condition that it was machshava, right? In the first case, where the Yisrael shechted the horse to feed to the guy. Second case, the guy shechted the goat to feed the Yisrael. That gives it food status. Likewise, it has to get wet, which is a precondition for Tumas Oichlan, has to get wet from some outside source, mayim, some water, makamacher. And the question is, Rashi asks, why water? I mean, what happened to the blood of the shechita? So he says, in this case, the blood of the shechita will not accomplish hechsher. He goes into the whole discussion that blood of a wound or of a dead animal doesn't count for hechsher, only the blood of an actual shechita, kosher shechita, which in this case you don't really have for two separate reasons, either because it's a horse doesn't have shechita, halachic shechita, or because it's a guy doing it in the second case. Okay, so again we have two cases, exactly the opposites, accomplishing a similar feat. In the first case, on account of the person doing the shechita, is Yisrael, who can do shechitas, even though it's a horse, it still has some validity regarding transforming it to food. And in the second case, exactly the opposite, on account of the animal. This type of animal is suitable for shechita, and therefore shechita done to it, even by a guy, proves transformative with respect to tumas oichel. Ve'echsher mai makamach. And the question is, why even bother with hechsher? The rule is, only regular foods, need to undergo the hechsher to, open the door for tumah. But if you have a material which either currently or not currently, but sooner or later will in itself prove to be a source of a tumah chamura, a strict tumah, a high level tumah, an ava tumah, which can be metame a person or a kli. So since it has that strong tumah potential, it doesn't need hechsher. It's strong enough on its own, it doesn't need hechsher to bring about tumah. Now this animal, let's just focus on the first case, but really, just for clarity, there are two cases here, right? The yid shechted the horse and the goy shechted the goat. Let's just focus on the first one, but really it applies to both equally. So the Yisrael did the shechit on the horse. Sure, currently it's not yet fully lifeless. It's not yet an avela, but very soon it's going to turn an avela. And an avela generates a very severe tumah. Ask the Gemara, Hechsher, why bother with Hechsher? Why is that necessary? Seifai, ultimately, it's going to be Letame Tumah Chamura. V'chalshe Seifai Letame Tumah Chamura, something which has that strong Tumah ability, Hechsher doesn't need Hechsher. Tanu Rabbi Shmuel, V'chiyuta Mayim Al Zera, is the pasuk regarding Hechsher on foods. We compare it to foods. Mazraim, seeds, foods, Shein Seifai Letame Tumah Chamura, which don't have the ability to become a high level of Tumah, to achieve a level of avatuma, tzrichin hechsher. That needs hechsher to give it any tuma. Afko, likewise, any other similar material, shein soifa l'tama tuma chaber, which doesn't have the ability for a strong tuma, tzrich hechsher, needs hechsher before it gets any tuma. But this is going to be an avela. We continue with this question of Atanya. Furthermore, we have a brayso, or b'yasi, mipnei ma'amru, why did the chachamim dictate that nivlas oiftar, a dead kosher bird, which is very metami, a person, when a person swallows it, a person becomes tummy, etc. Why does that need hechsher? Tzricha machshava. Sorry, tzricha machshava. Why does it need... Again, he brings a rye from the kosher bird, where it says, you don't need hechsher, tzricha machshava, although you need machshava, intent, Rashi says we're talking in the villages where there aren't that many customers to have these materials, so you have to sort of designate it as food. But ve'ena tzricha hechsher, the bird will be matami with an hechsher. You know why? For that very same reason. Mipnei, we turn tamen beis shesoy falid tami to machamur, because it has that severe tumah potential. The same with the shechted horse. It's going to be an avela very soon. Amar chizke, no. It's an avela status. It's not inevitable. Who says it's going to happen? You know, for something to become a metami tumas nevela, it has to have a kazayas. Who says you'll ever have a kazayas? This fellow can come and quickly dissect this animal, crumble it up to little crumbs, to less than a kazayas is. So he'll never have tumas nevela. Amar chizke, hoyo v'yachal gudra, he can scrape it down, he can grind it up, and get you slivers, each one less than a kazayas. So since its nevela status is not guaranteed, so regard it like regular food, and you need hechsher for tumah. Amulet or yirumi or bezera. So, according to Chizkiah's approach, the nevela status is not inevitable. So now, when it's in a state of mifar chesed, it's still flapping, you tell me it's not a nevela, right? Umi yamar Chizkiah hachi, is that true that according to Chizkiah it's not a nevela? This shechted animal, which is not fully expired, is not an avela? We have a discussion. In the case of shechted b'shnayim or rev shnayim, we did a proper shechita, shechted both tubes, or most of them, it's a proper shechita, but I mean for chesed, the animal is still flapping. Can a guy eat it? No, a yid can certainly eat it, because, like we said, shechita is transformative. It turns it into food. It's not even menachai. If it's a kosher shechita, but in this case, we're talking that it's not really a proper shechita. The act of shechita was done, but the animal's a horse, right? So a yid can't eat it. So you don't have that parallel. If a yid can eat it, certainly a guy. But here, a yid can't eat it. It's not going to end up in the kosher butcher shop, right? So now the question is, can a guy eat it? Or is it considered eivar min hachai? A limb of a live animal. It's not fully dead. We have machlokes. Chizkiah amar ein eivarim. No, no issue. It's not eivarim. There's no eivar min hachai here. It's shechted, it's not chai. Rabbi Yechon Amar, yesh no leivarim. We do consider like a compilation of limbs, meaning to say there's eivar min hachai issues here. And the Gemara explains, Chizki Amar in a leivarim. Don't worry about eivar min hachai. Meisei, it's that animal. Shechita turned it into food. Rabbi Yechon Amar, yesh no leivarim. We're concerned about eivar min hachai. It's not fully meisei, lav meisei. So clearly, according to Chizki, he labels it as a dead animal. Dead animal. Even if it was shechted horse, if it fully dies, is an avela. Amar Lezi says it's somewhere in between. It's in limbo. Shechted b'shnayim. Amar Yotzei Samechan Chaya. It left the Chaya status. It's no longer fully alive. Yeah, the shechita did that, but it's not fully dead. Uchal Meis Leibos. It hadn't yet arrived at Meis territory. So on the one hand, it's not an animal, it's not a live animal, with respect to being immune to tumah. It's food, it's now open to tumas achila, tumas oichla. But it's still somewhat alive regarding tumas, and it's no longer, right, it's no longer eva menachai, but it's still somewhat alive regarding tumas nevela, which only descends upon it when it's fully expired. Okay, gufa, let's go back to this discussion. Shechet b'shnayim rev shnayim, he did this shechita on the horse, v'dayin for cheses, still flapping. Chizki amar ein levarim, don't worry about even a chai. Rabbi Yechon Amar, yesh levarim. Guy, if he should take from it, he's going to be transgressing. Eiv even a chai. Now, which opinion do we adopt? Amar Rabbi Elazar, nekoit, laha, darichem yadcha. Adopt Rabbi Yechon's opinion, because there's a brisa that supports it. The Tanur Beisha, obviously, Rashi had a brisa like that. The Tanur Beisha. Yisrael sheshachar ben matmei lev kechavim. Yisrael executed shechita on a horse for a guy. It was a proper shechita, shechet b'shnayim rev shnayim, umfar chesed, but it's not yet fully expired. Metama tumas oichlan v'tumas nevelis, right? It has tumas oichlan. It's food, but it's not a nevela. And here comes the punchline. Eiver menachai is still active. Eiver ha'purish mimena, if a limb separates from it, while it's still in its state of limbo, kipurish menachai, as though it's separated from a live animal. Ubas ha'purish mimena, likewise, flesh that separates, kipurish menachai, like flesh off a live animal, vassal b'nayach. in which case it's forbidden for a guy to eat. Even if he waits a couple of minutes until the animal expires, since it was removed from the animal while it was still technically, halachically alive, it's usher forever. That piece is usher forever. Now all this is when despite the fact that a proper shkita was done, but let's say even that wasn't done. Shachat by echad did only one simen on the horse, or the most of it. That's not a proper shkita. That's not transformative. That doesn't change its status. Eina matama tumas oichlam. It's not food with respect to tumas oichlam. And certainly nachra, he just tore the simanim. Certainly it doesn't have any tumah. Ein bo tumah shel klum. There's no tumah there. Until it dies, and then it's an avela, of course. But at this point, it's not. Now, the reverse a case, right? We had two cases: a yid on a horse, a goy on a goat. A goy did shechita on a goat for the sake of Israel, has the same status as the yid on the horse. Umvracheses, it's not yet fully expired. Metam tumas oichlam has tumas oichlam. It's considered food material. Alu tumas oichlam, but it's not tumas nefil. Eiver parish mamena, likewise, right? The limb removed at this point. As though it's separated from a live being, likewise flesh, and a guy can't eat it, even if he waits, he rips it off now, but he waits too late, and this all is in line with Rabbi Yechanan, right, that says that there's Eivim Nachai at this point. Now certainly Shachat Ba'echad or Evechad, if the guy only did a, you know, one simon or roiv of that, that's certainly not a shechita, doesn't mean to get to Masoichlin. And of course Nachra, if he did Nechira, Nechara, Eimah, Tumash, Chum, there's no tum. Okay, that pretty much sums up our discussion. So before we conclude the brayse, let's just make a quick summary. We have an interesting, you know, a semi-shechita situation. Right? So if a yidat shechita on a kosher animal, of course it proves fully transformative and the animal is now considered food material regarding all halachis, it's not even menachai, it's tumas oichlin, etc., etc. But if there was a crossover, yid shechted the horse for the guy, or the guy shechted the goat for the yid. So in the first case, what's missing? It's the wrong animal, but it's a proper ma'aseh shechita, so it has some effect. Second case, just the opposite. The animal's fine, but the person doing it is not authorized to do shechita. So once again, it doesn't really accomplish a full shechita, but it's somewhat transformative. It turns into oichel, regarding tumas oichlin, not yet tumas nevela. Regarding even nachai, quote Rabbi Yochanan, still considered even nachai, until it's fully expired. Continues the Braisa. What if there was one act of shechita accomplished jointly by the goy and by the yid? Well, it depends. Who did the critical part? Suppose the goy did a shechita in a matter which doesn't make it a treifa. Not a serious cut, Rashi says. He only cut half the simon. So the two simon, we cut half of the first. This theoretically would not be considered a life-threatening injury regarding hechas treifa, right? Ubay Yisrael v'gamra comes along the yid and completes the job. Kshera, it's fine, because he pushed it over the finish line. Shachad Yisrael, on the other end, Yisrael begins the shechita. Bein b'makom she'isa satreifa, whether he did a serious cut that would render the animal a treifa. For instance, he did most of the first tube, and then the guy came and finished the second tube. Or ubein b'makom she'isa certainly if the cut of the yid was not a serious cut, it was only half the first tube, and then the guy comes and completes it, it's considered the act of the guy. It doesn't qualify as shechita regarding permissibility of consumption. So now the Braisa continues with another interesting point, which we already had in that one, Givon. If a person wishes to have a part of the animal, koidem shetetinafsha, to consume a piece of flesh that was removed before the animal fully expired, which has you know, health benefits, as we're going to see later. How do you accomplish that? The answer is, right after shechita, quickly clip off a piece of meat from the neck area, which is easily accessible, and put it on the side. Choytech kazayis basar, take a kazayis of meat, mibeis shechita, so from the neck area where you did the shechita, umal chayafe yafe, salt it well, umadicha yafe, wash it well, but don't eat it yet. Now, minat Torah, this is really okay. It's not Eivim Nachai, because as we explained, since the Yisrael did the shechita on a kosher animal, it's fully transformative. It's not considered meat, because Klal Yisrael were commanded, v'zavachta v'achalta, as soon as you do the shechita, you eat. The act of shechita turns it into food. It changes its status dramatically, it's considered food. Unlike by the Goyim, who don't have a concept of shechita. So in their situation, a shechita would not permit it for them, unless the animal fully dies. Shechita is not a player for them. It's not a factor. It's either alive or dead. So until it fully dies, it's not mutter for a guy. But in this case, Rashi says, once something becomes mutter for us, it's mutter for them. It can't be more, you know, severe than us. So in this case, it would be okay for a Yisrael or a guy. Umam Rashi adds, this is based on the Gemara in Sanhedrin, midirabbanon, loyseichu al adam, you're not meant to eat off an animal while it's still exhibiting some signs of life, so he has to simply wait until it fully expires. And then he can have that original piece of meat which was clipped off during this sort of limbo stage. V'oichlein can eat that piece of meat, whether it's a yid or a goy, it doesn't matter. Echad ev kichav, echad yisroel, mutarim ev kichad yid. Mis hayele l'rabi, l'rabi debar avin. This price, which gives us this instruction and you know, is a writer of Idibar Avin, who likewise tells us that it's permissible. Alright, Dam Rabbi Rav, Ashen, Aritza, Shayavri. Person wants to gain, you know, the health benefits, wants to get strong from this Chaytech Kadais Basar, Beshita, right? Again, Mochli of Yafa, Mitechli of Yafa, Mitosh Navsham, and then he can have it, Echad Gehova, Gizom, Turn. Okay, Bayra Belos. So we learned that if a Yisrael shechts a horse, it does have some transformation effect, right? It makes it open to Tumas Oichlin, as we learned. Shohabo, Doraspo, Mao. Suppose he waited, he paused in the middle of the Shechita, which invalidates the Shechita. So physically it was an act of Shechita, but halachically there was some impediments here, which would invalidate the Shechita regarding a Yisrael consuming that meat. It's not kosher Shechita. Doras boy pressed down too hard. Mao. What would you say in this case? Amalei Usaba said, this elder turned to him. He says, Hachim Rabbi Yechanan. Let me quote to Rabbi Yechanan. He says, Tzricha Hechsher, Shechita Gevehim HaTorah. In order for the Shechita of the Yisrael on the horse to have any effect, it has to have Hechsher Shechita, proper Shechita, like a proper Shechita on a kosher animal. Now, what's this elongated, you know, phraseology? Hechsher, Hechsher, Lamai. What do you mean Hechsher? I meant to say, you have to check the knife before, like any other shechita. I mean, you have to have the physical characteristics of an act of shechita. A proper knife, a proper slit, without pausing, without a prop. Well, the only issue being the type of animal. If that's the only issue, then this halacha applies. But if the act of shechita on its own was deficient, then it's a non-starter. Boy minei Rabbi Zeira Rav Sheshes. I have a new question regarding this shechted horse while still flapping before it fully expires. It's regarded as food, right? Now we know that a live animal has something inside of it, balua, something buried inside its system, swallowed a ring or whatever. That item is immune from contracting tumah from the outside. It's protected within a live being. It's called balua. It's in its own environment. It's protected from any outside influence, right? What about something inside this shechted horse, while still not fully expired, still somewhat alive, right? Mausha tatzal al blun shebeseicha. Can it protect something which is embedded inside it from tumah? Because it hadn't fully died yet, it's not an avela, right? It's considered tumas eichlim, not tumas nevela. So how do you treat it in terms of balua? Amalei, he says, how could you suggest that it would protect its balua? Amalei, look, metamatumas eichlim. We know that it's metamatumas eichlim. Umatzelis, you expect it to protect the balua? It's a piece of meat. Amalei, eino metamatumas nevelas. We'll go the other way. Well, you know it's not going to be metamatumas nevelas until it fully dies. So that indicates that it's somewhat live. V'leitatzel, and it can't, it shouldn't protect. So whichever way you go, we're stuck. Amar Abaye, you have to be machmer. Eina matzelas ala bluim shebeseicha, because the hametamata maseichon, since it has to maseichon, that gives it an element of food. It's like a ring stuck in a piece of meat. There's no protection there. It's not balua in a live being. Furthermore, varoiva, if a person improperly interacts with this animal in this state, chayiv, he's liable for the isur of revia, because it's still regarded somewhat as a live entity. Do'eino metam tumas nevela, since it's not a generative tumas nevela, means it's not fully dead. It's regarded somewhat as a chay regarding this halacha as well. Okay, in summation, we have two sections of today's daf. We discussed items which are pseudo foods, which are mitzarev to foods alongside them. One of which is the alol, the beak, the bottom portion of the nails, and of the horns. Very interesting gemara regarding a pseudo shechita, Yisrael shechting a horse for the sake of a goy, or vice versa, a goy shechting a goat for the sake of a yid. It turns it from a live animal to a piece of meat with respect to tumas oichlin, even though it's not yet fully dead, which would generate tumas nevela. Regarding Eivim Nachai to a goy, at this point, Rabbi Yechon says it is considered somewhat alive, and Eivim Nachai still applies. An interesting gemara regarding clipping off this basar, kodesh shteitz nafsha, with the need to wait until later to actually eat it. And we concluded that this animal limbo has all kinds of interesting manifestations. Oichlin and nevela and Eivim Nachai we discussed, but it also pertains to the balua and to haroiva achayv. All the best to you. Psuras tovas. Thank you so much for joining. Hatzlacha Rabbah.